What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Ari, here.
This is Christina Williams.
It's Dawn Staley.
I'm Miles Ehrlich.
It's your girl, Jasmine Baker, here.
And you're listening to About That.
About That.
About That.
About That.
So you know you gotta stay locked into About That with your boy, B. Terrell. Deuces. I'm sorry, no sorry. Nobody
but don't act crazy. What's up, everybody? This is B. Terrell, and you have tuned in to About That, and I am your host, and that was supposed to be like crowd noise. I was doing it with my mouth. You know, like when the game show host walks out on set, the crowd goes crazy for them. No. Anyway, once again, I'm B. Terrell. You're listening to About That, and I am so happy for the opportunity that Blue Wire has created for me to basically be able to talk about women's basketball. So make sure you go ahead and follow, tell a friend to tell a friend, subscribe to the show, and we're going to be coming to you weekly with some amazing discussions with some of your people that are on the court and off the court and behind the scenes. So I'm looking forward to those discussions, and hey, make sure you go and follow About That on Instagram and Twitter at About That BW. That's About That BW on both Instagram and Twitter. And of course, follow me too at It's B. Terrell. So now this show, it's going to be a good one. I'm going to come to you as the only way B. Terrell knows how to do. Why am I referring to myself like that as B. Terrell, as if it's not me talking about me? Anyway, this is the first show. I felt like, what better way to drop the first episode than in the middle of, one, free agency, and two, March Madness. We are days away from the tournament kicking off. We've already seen some amazing moves being made in the middle of free agency for the WNBA. We've had a great season with Athletes Unlimited Hoops. So I'm really excited for this space that women's basketball is in. Of course, obviously, we're continuing to do our necessary parts in growing the game. But these are definitely exciting times. Now, you're listening to this. The brackets have already been revealed. I brought some amazing friends onto the show for my first episode to basically talk about what it is that they're feeling. Who are the sleepers? Who are their favorites to make it to the Final Four? And possibly what kind of upsets could be brewing? So, hey, I said all of that. It's about to get started. Look, I'm excited, and hopefully you enjoy some of the things that me and my friends have to talk about, and it's some familiar names that you've probably heard of in and around the WNBA Twitter sphere. So, yeah, go ahead, get some drinks, like water, juice, or something, coffee, especially if it's early when you're listening to this. Go ahead and relax and come back after this. I'm going to be joined by my friends to talk about a little bit of bracketology. All right, guys, welcome back to About That. I have been joined by some amazing people. Some, you know, y'all probably call us some hellraisers on Twitter, but it's some of my awesome co-workers, teammates, whatever, of the conglomerate known as the committee. I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Well, hi, I'm Dolores, a.k.a. Hell. Okay. I have been following women's basketball for about 5 years now, heavily. I've always been a fan, but basically my passion for the game inspired me to want to create the committee, which is how I got in contact with these wonderful people. But I'm so excited to join B today so we can continue raising hell.
I'll go. I'm Kiana. Don't know how I follow all that up, but I've been a fan of women's basketball for as long as I can remember, and being a part of this group and meeting all these people kind of just make my knowledge grow even more. I love learning from everybody here on this panel today.
And last but not least,
they call me Big Shawnee. I don't really do much. But nah, writer by heart, hooper by nature. Again, like just what Kiana said. I'm used to calling you Yana. I'm sorry I messed that up. That's also my thing, messing everyone's name up. But yeah, just learning from y'all has been fun. So I'm very much excited to be on the B. Terrell show. Oh, so,
stop it. But I love it. I love it. No, so we can get all those formalities out the way, to be honest. Now, I want to know everyone's first thought when you saw the bracket. What were you thinking before it was revealed? And then how you feel after it was revealed?
What order you want us to go in?
You go, Shawnee. I'm gonna put you on the spot. You go. We go do the
answer. Well, I was actually in Colonial Life Arena. The Gamecocks had a little watch party Sunday selection show, so we had a lot of discussion within our committee chat about, you know, possible outcomes and things of that nature. I kind of had that in the back of my mind. Like I told Yana, I don't understand all those numbers she be talking about and stuff. Just tell me where we're going. But I had our conversation in the back of my mind, and then we flashed up on the big board, overall number one, and I started seeing who's in it, and I was like, oh yeah, turn us up. So those were my thoughts.
Go ahead, Yana.
Before the bracket came out, I was just more intrigued to see where everybody ended up and who was going to be like the top 16 seeds. Well, I think we kind of already knew who the top, like, I guess all the top four seeds were going to be. But I was interested to see where everybody would end up after all, everybody took so many L's this week. Like, I feel like everybody was losing. So I was really interested to see where that went. But after the bracket came out, I was impressed. I think if I have to say one thing I was impressed about, it was just the balance. Like, I really loved the balance of this bracket. So.
Come on, balance. That's the word for the day, balance. Dolores, I keep wanting to say Michael, but go ahead, Dolores.
So no, seriously, I'm with you guys in terms of how I was feeling about the bracket, but I think before we've seen this season a lot of parody. You know, that word gets thrown up a lot. But I feel like this year more than anything, we've seen that. And I think the biggest thing that I wanted to kind of test out was, we all have our philosophies about what conferences are hard and, you know, who's respected. And I feel like that's where my big thing was, like, how would the Big 12 fare in terms of how many of them got a top 16 seed? Would DePaul make it off the strength of the Big East this year? How would the ACC, the bubble teams in the ACC, make it in or not? So that's kind of where I was looking at before. And then once the bracket dropped, as soon as I saw the two seed in the Greensboro Regional.
I wish the people could see your face right now.
Like the video, the GIF of the girl, GIF, how the girl say it, of the girl, the little kid, and there's fire in the background, and she's like,
she's squinting. Like
that was my instant reaction. It was like, hell is what I felt. And from that moment, I was like, the committee is about to raise hell. And every time a new bracket dropped, it was just hell, 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 and more hell. I mean, if I'm gonna say, like, the committee kind of gave some cupcake, I do think Bridgeport is a little meek.
Wait! Don't go on the cupcake shit.
I'm just saying that was my, like, gripe in terms of, like, NC State. If I'm good old Wes Moore, I'm looking at everybody sideways, to be honest. But outside of that, I do feel like the balance was there. But yeah, I mean, give me that 1 and 2 in Greensboro so that I can come with my thong on that Shay has been telling me she's gonna get. Okay, and my jersey, okay, because I'm a habit.
So I'm gonna go with my first thought. My first thought was, I was like, before, I was like, you know what, they're about to piss me off. They're gonna piss me off. I was ready to be pissed off, and I'm upset because, you know, sometimes like, you prepare for an argument and you prepare to go off and it doesn't happen, and now you're even more upset. And I'm like, I had all of these tweets saved in my draft that I was ready to get off because I just knew they were going to screw us. Maybe I shouldn't say
me
us,
too. I had like 6 of them in my drafts.
Right. I was like, they're going to try South Carolina and they're going to stack everybody over there. and you know, I try to be neutral. I'm a fan of good basketball, but you know, we do have our favorites. But then when I saw it, I was like, oh my, okay. Is this, I don't want to look ahead, but I'm like, you know, 2017, like, you know, could this be that? And I'm like, okay, but you know, each game by game. And so afterwards, I kind of let out, you know, a little sigh of relief. But then I feel the same way. When you said, if I'm Westmore, I'm pissed because they got to fight. That region, before we even get to it, that is a fight waiting to happen. So since we already talked about, you know, our favorite brackets, well, not favorite brackets, but we gave our first impressions, I'm going to go ahead and just get things started with the Greensboro region.
Your
thoughts on the Greensboro region. And I don't even think. First word, each of you, go.
I love it.
Chaos. Hell.
Racism.
You said racism.
Oh, man, I was so bad to see that South Carolina. Y'all know Dawn is like heavy for the culture. And she's always been that way. And to see them put Howard like right there, I was just like, man, this is a mess. You but know what? Outside of that, chaos.
They always get an HBCU. They've gotten A&T 1 year. I remember they got Savannah State. Yeah. I think it's Savannah State's last year as a D1 school.
We get Jacksonville.
Oh yeah, because they played Yo.
Somebody. They're not an HBCU.
But they're not an HBCU. That's right. But it's black, a young black coach. So
I agree.
Yeah.
So as a Hampton graduate, I'm a little torn on that. I'm like, well, sucks.
You're
to suck
a Hampton
for you.
Grad, not Howard.
Yeah, she went to yeah. So you want to see Howard go down?
The real HBCU. Not. I don't want to see them go down in that way. Like, it's a weird situation.
Hopefully Donna put the second unit in the third quarter and we'll only win by 15.
But you remember a few years ago, A&T gave us a little fit and the starters had to play.
That's true.
A&T was like, this ain't about to go down this way. Like, we about to, y'all about to compete for 35.
I'm going down with dignity.
Right, hello?
Okay.
Yeah.
What, so I think that is... At least the music should be good.
Are the girls gonna come?
Can I say that?
You know what, we're talking about the music, but they have to get by UI. They had to get by Incarnate Word first. So
that they do.
If they get by them in that play-in, then boom, they come to they'll play South Carolina. It's spicy.
Don't get your hopes up on that band. I'm sorry.
I know, but they still play better than the Carolina band. Like, I really cannot listen to them play any more of the same songs I've been hearing since 2014.
I'll take their version of Nick over Carolina's version of Nick.
It's a little scratchy. A little squeaky.
Yeah, they need to oil up them trumpets a little bit, probably. Who knows?
Coach.
But... Who is y'all, you know, and we all talked about, and I want Yana to say what she said in the chat in regards to obviously why they put a certain team in this region as the 2 seed. And you said it so eloquently and just as simple. Say that again, Yana.
I gotta remember what I said. I be saying a lot, man.
Put up giving the content away for free.
Was it related to last year, right?
No, it was about, right, when I said last year how everybody was campaigning for a certain player about Iowa.
Oh, was it in the terms of they really just feel like you got to put up or shut up? Like,
put up
at
or
a point
shut up.
Where, like, it's March, and they probably have seen the Carolina fans and Iowa fans going back at it. Iowa's coach already had her little spiel of them not having 10 All-Americans, even though it's 11, sis. But, you know, put up or shut up. It's put up or shut up time. If they meet, do what they do.
Hello. And that's going to be, they want to talk about TV ratings? That's going to be the one.
But not too fast because my niece coming, okay, up
who
the highway.
Niece?
And this, my daughter, actually, but I had to call her niece after she got thrown to the floor like that.
Oh, Lord, you're talking about Denarcy.
I really am a fan of Iowa State. I saw an article as of late, and someone in Iowa basically wrote an article saying that freedom of movement in women's basketball is non-existent. And it was after the Big 12 tournament. And I really do think, when you look at the way conferences are officiated, the Big Ten, where Iowa plays, is one of those conferences where freedom of movement is, the calls are geared towards being able to score, get up and down the court. You know, if the ball handler is dribbling, you got to get your hands off. So, like, a lot of the scoring that we see and, like, a lot of the hoopla around the Big Ten offensively is because that's how it's officiated. Now, flip the script to the Big 12. Iowa State is a team that I think would thrive in a conference like the Big Ten, but they don't have a true, like a dominant or a really talented post player. They really have to beat you from the three. And so when they played earlier in the year and Iowa State won, of course, that game was in Iowa State on Iowa State's home floor, Ames. And I think a big reason for that was because Iowa State knows, even though they don't always win, how to play gritty, and they know how to score. So I'm really interested to see if Iowa State, because I do think Georgia is going to be a tough matchup for them if they get to Georgia because of Georgia's post play. If Iowa State gets a rematch with Iowa, although Iowa State won this year, Ashley Jones has only beaten Iowa one time in her career, and that was this year. So does Ashley Jones go home to Caitlin like she's done three times before? Or does Iowa State make a deeper run than Iowa? Because as we know, a lot of times when the committee does give that one team that, like, oh, this your year, give it to us, they pee the bed, asked North Carolina State Circle last year. So I think it'll be interesting.
You're saying, because I feel like with Iowa State, you know, a lot of people talk about South Carolina and how they came so close, and South Carolina has this drive for the, you know, the Final Four and to get to the national championship game because they have that Stanford loss in the back of their head. But Iowa State didn't have obviously no team who didn't win the national championship had a happy ending. But Iowa State kind of, their ending was a little rough because to me it kind of felt like they got cheated last year. And so,
yes,
like having that to drive them into this year could also be huge too. Because Iowa State played really well last year, and then
they got Shawnee's favorite parent. So,
hey, man, don't let him anywhere near my players, please.
He's gonna blow a gasket.
Oh man, he's gonna be in Greensboro jumping up and down the stadiums. I need y'all to get videos.
I'm scared though. I really don't know if he's gonna be in Greensboro. I need my daughter to make it to Greensboro, but you know, Georgia has had a terrible year in terms of the team that they have and the result. But something about a team with players that are experienced and most of them are fifth years, it means a little bit more in the tournament. And they might not get far, but they might knock a tree down on the way.
That's true. And that's a perfect segue when you talk about Georgia and you talk about these experienced teams, because like for the next, what I think we have three more years to deal with fifth year players or even in some cases, 6 year players. Which of these veteran teams or a sneaky team could be someone that could possibly surprise you? If you're thinking about the ACC tournament last week, I was there and I was able to see Miami. And you can see Miami. You got some shooters like South Florida, potentially, maybe a little bit smaller on the inside, but they can dang near shoot it from wherever. Or Colorado, you know, who started off their season, you know, pretty hot until Stanford. So, like, any of these teams are a sleeper to you?
Low-key Colorado. I would say Miami if they weren't playing us, because I just feel like we outmatch them talent wise. So yes, they're gritty, and yes, I think they would hit us in the mouth. To can I say us? Can, do I have to be objective? What are the rules? You know, I think that they could scrap, but ultimately, it's not my daughter Haley Van Lith. You're dotting her eyes. It's gonna be Bria Beal. So that is already a huge difference. And Colorado, I like what they were able to do in the Pac-12. If they can mush somebody else in the face, I think it'd be great for ratings. I want to see it. Colorado's my sleeper on that side of the bracket. I think they have the best chance at some upsets.
Okay. And do you all kind of agree?
I looked at the bracket and I saw Colorado and I was like, that could be good because Colorado is a feisty team. I do think Iowa will come out with the win. But I wouldn't be surprised if Colorado gave them a scare because Colorado is feisty. They're gritty. They're physical on defense. And in the Big Ten, you don't really see that too much. And so I think when you come across, like, I think Dawn kind of mentioned it in her interview and not in this direct way, but she was talking about how she felt like South Carolina wasn't as direct because they didn't have to be for so long throughout the SEC. And then it got to the tournament and it was like, all right, turn it back on. But they couldn't turn it back on because they, you know, wasn't being what they needed to be throughout the season. And I think in this case, as far as a Big Ten team goes, if you're not used to playing physical and then you play a team that's physical and if you get, say, an SEC ref, or a Big 12 ref that allows physicality, it's going to punch you in the mouth early because you're going to have to figure out, all right, how do I move? What do I do? Because now I got to play with people all up in my grill and I'm not used to that.
Not you saying you want somebody to sting somebody like Texas.
I mean, hey. And if for Texas, if they run into a Big 10 ref, they going whole team going to file out.
Yes.
And I hate to say this, but my Caucasian daughter, Caitlin Clark, does not like contact like that. She be flopping around, throwing herself, and she ain't but so big. She like 6 feet, but she needs some rocks in her pocket. So you start roughing her up. That wear 9 for 27.
She needs some Black Air Force.
Just a little
bit. It's definitely going to depend on the refs and what they allow and what they don't allow. And a lot of that matters when it comes to different conferences playing each other. So
let me throw in one. This one is a shock for me because I have been so up and around about this team. But I really do think after seeing them at the ACC tournament, UNC might make it to the Sweet 16.
They peaked at the right time, I feel like.
Because
Boston, and then they would get either UNLV or Arizona.
And I know Kate Reese is back. Arizona is slumping right now. Ooh. And I do think Kate Reese is their best player in terms of somebody you need at that position for Arizona. But I think UNC's ability to shoot the ball, Deja Kelly is stepping into being able to hit the midi basically automatically. If the three guards and Todd Williams at UNC, if they get hot in the tournament for a game or two, somebody's going to go down. So if they can make it past, even if Austin and Arizona can make it past UNLV, I think North Carolina might be able to get them a trip to Greensboro. And that's right down the street for them. So who knows?
Wait a minute. How many black coaches did they put in Dawn region? Hold on now. Possibly Howard, you know, Arizona, Georgia, Dayton, DePaulo, UT Arlington. That's it. So,
oh no. But I do agree with UNC too, because UNC, their players and their coaches and their fans have this big chip on their shoulder because a lot of them felt like they should have been a top 16 seed. They felt like they've done enough. They felt like they've been better than a lot of these teams. And so this is their moment to do what they need to do. So.
But shout out to them for sending Duke home for good.
Like Duke is just better luck next year. Better luck. So now we're going, this the one. I feel like this might be the toughest region. We're going to skip the middle two. We're going to go to Bridgeport.
You think that's the toughest?
Nah, it's Wichita, man. Wichita is above that.
Let me see.
Spokane for me.
I'm sorry, I think Spokane is the toughest, because this is why: Stanford, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Florida Gulf Coast, Maryland, Ohio State, LSU, depending on what Arkansas they get, and Texas and Utah.
I take it back. Spokane might be the
toughest. I told you.
They're gonna have to fight.
But the good thing is they don't have to fight everybody, because everybody else gonna be doing work too. So I do think Spokane's gonna have a lot of upsets though.
You didn't even mention Kansas, and Kansas has really
That Kansas and Georgia Tech game is gonna be really good. This is my sleeper. And I know we said this. I saw a lot of tweets saying that Delaware could catch Maryland slipping.
You think so?
Absolutely. Jasmine Dickey.
Delaware could catch Maryland sleeping. But that Florida Gulf Coast and Virginia Tech game and Kansas and Georgia Tech are going. Those 8 and 9 games are always some really good games, because they're so equally matched. The seeding is there for a reason. I feel like either one could be an 8 or a 9. So depending on, like, Georgia Tech, they've lost some pieces. They played with what? 7 people maybe all year. So it depends on foul trouble, depends on what type of game Lorella could buy, currently projected to be a first round pick in the WNBA draft, is having. Like, they could really do some damage there. They are a defensive team. So, and then you got Florida Gulf Coast, who, boy, they can shoot from anywhere.
They're underseeded. I hate the way they treat mid-majors, because Florida Gulf Coast to me is better than a 12 seed.
Mm-hmm. What would you have given? A 9?
Yeah. I probably would have gave them, like, to be honest, 8 or 7, to be honest. Like,
I mean, given their record, they should have been a 5 or 6 seed.
And then they are loaded with a bunch of
five transfers. They beat LSU.
Yeah.
LSU. And if we consider LSU a 3 seed and their only other loss is to Princeton, which also made the tournament and should have been ranked higher too. Florida Gulf Coast should have been a 1 through a 6 or 5.
So I kind of feel like the Spokane region is I wouldn't say the toughest, it's the biggest mystery to me, because it is a whole bunch of teams that really, it depends on who you're going to get today. Because Arkansas, we know they can shoot the lights out. Are they going to do it consistently? Like, the rest of these teams, like Ohio State, Virginia Tech, all of them, solid teams, but like they were in the like 15 to 25 range on our polls pretty much all year. So it's like we have these solid wins and you'd see the best from them, and then they go back and like do something stupid and lose to somebody they had no business losing to. So Spokane could be the most annoying region, because if you get those teams on a good day and they actually, like, you know, focus in and take their medicine and do what they need to do, that could be a bloodbath. But I don't think it's outright on paper the hardest, in my opinion.
I got a question, and don't y'all, because I know you girls like to tussle.
Tussle.
First question I got is Sha'Carri Richardson, little Sha'Carri Richardson, is she healthy?
She should be. Alexis Morris.
For those of you listening, Sha'Carri Richardson is Alexis Morris. Oh.
I would ask her on Twitter, but she blocked me. So can't ask her, but I do know that LSU was saving her for the tournament. I am a little worried, because I felt like at the SEC tournament, you could kind of see her limping a little bit. Mm. And the knee is
not too playing doctor.
So
it's tricky. I'm not saying that Jackson State is going to come in with the upset. However, They're one of those mid-major teams that have some players that transferred out of Power 5 programs. Mm-hmm. Amisha came from Mississippi State.
Today.
They just got another one?
Southern Cal.
And then I know they got someone from Minnesota. So like they have players who have big game experience or at least tough game experience. So who knows? And like what will Faustina Fua do against Amisha, who has proven herself to be, you know, one of the better centers in the country. I mean, she's been on the watch list for the Lisa Leslie Award. She's like, what, defensive player of the year? I mean, she averages what? I think, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 20 and 12, or I know she's averaging a double-double. So, like, you know, obviously the competition is a lot different from SEC and the SWAC. But, you know, she's performed well against some other teams that they maybe shouldn't have performed as well against. So I'm interested to see what that looks like, especially if LSU is without some of their players.
Okay, so, remember Troy and Texas A&M? Remember Jackson how that went? Yeah, that we might see this whole Bayou brewing situation. Like, I think it has the potential to be like that. And if the refs ain't on nonsense, we got to say justice for Jackson State, because it'll actually be racist if we have to say justice for Jackson State.
Y'all know Kim will do that good kicking and throwing off her jacket. And and go try to get the crowd.
I do hope Alexis Morris is healthy, though. I do want to see a healthy LSU and see what they can do in the tourney. So hopefully
LSU is going to the Elite Eight. LSU is going to the Elite Eight. Period.
Okay.
I am interested in that Utah Arkansas game, though. I think that's going to be a good one.
Wait. You said LSU is going to the Elite Eight.
Yes, they are.
So they're getting through Jackson State, either Ohio State and Missouri State, or Florida State.
And Texas. Yeah,
to me, you think they're going to beat Texas?
Yes. Hmm.
So they'd be Texas. That mean,
they'd be in the Elite Eight playing probably Stanford. To go to the Final Four. Ooh. I can see that. I can see them definitely. If LSU's healthy and they match up versus Texas, I can see them playing. I can see them beating Texas because LSU is just as physical as Texas. A lot of people.
They have all the ingredients to beat this Texas team because. Mm-hmm. A lot of these coaches, like some of the key things for me to look at in tournament is if your team is in a South Carolina, a UConn, NC State, or a Stanford, everything is about the matchup. So like for the top teams, you can win a couple of different ways and still win comfortably. But then once you start dropping tiers down, it's matchup specific. And Kim was able to get a team basically at LSU that is a microcosm of every team she's ever had that's done well at Baylor. For a solid post rotation. And this team is dope in the fact that she has four dynamic guards. Because remember, Payne got all that experience taking in for Alexis Morris. So she's got basically an 8-man rotation, 2 post players off the bench, 1 solid guard off the bench, 3 solid guard starters that can go for 15 to 20 a game. That's 60 points right there. Alexis Morris and Caleb Winter are going to be
math that quick.
I told you, once they start talking numbers, my eyes glaze over.
Like, I mean, I just feel like they definitely could pee the bed. Like, that is a team, if they're not making shots on the perimeter, they could be screwed. But I think Kim, I mean, I don't think she's a great person. But I do trust Kim's game planning. She don't call timeouts, as we know. But I trust
them too early.
Planning. Correct. Because she really tried. But I do trust Kim's preparation, and she's been around the game long enough to know. And in the SEC, you see so many different things. So nothing's going to be a surprise. Texas won't be a surprise if they get to Texas. Why? Because they play South Carolina. You know? Any team in that little area isn't really going to shock her because they lost to Florida Gulf Coast earlier in the year. They lost to Missouri. So they know the teams that give them fits, and hopefully they've learned from it, but I think they have the roster to make that Elite Eight run.
Can I ask a question? Dolores, Kim's composure, because as we saw, Baylor had everything working for them,
And then Dee Dee Richards gets hurt, and instead of coaching her team, she decides to look at the bench.
So it's a different roster.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if Homegirl comes back and then can't go, or something, you know, God forbid, something like that throws them off in the slightest, are you concerned about her composure coming into play?
No, because that's comparing Dee Dee Richards, a player that she's based, that's been her man for 4 years. Like, Dee Dee was running point even when Tay was on the team. Dee Dee was an important factor when they won the national championship. Dee Dee has always been a big factor. With this team, she's basically got 3 point guards. Any of her 3 guards can bring the ball up the court.
Well, Alexis Morris going out for a long time too now.
Exactly. So more, but the thing was that for the first part of the year, it was Pointer getting the bucket. Then when SEC play started, we saw Alexis Morris take some of that responsibility because now we got a scout on Pointer. Let's cut her off. And it was like, well, let's get, you know, Morris was like, all right, I'm a shooter too. So Morris started scoring. But then when Morris goes down, Payne didn't just start getting the play for the SEC tournament. She was getting game experience all the way dating back to that Tennessee game at Tennessee. So she's got 4 guards. If one of them can't go, that's still 3 guards. And if another one can't go, she can still move. You know, she can move her players around and make it work. Does she have the composure to do that? I think so with this roster. Because with Baylor, she didn't play any of her backup guards. If you looked at that Baylor team that lost to UConn last year, all those transfers, the only player that got a lot of extra experience was Sarah Andrews, and she still didn't play that much. So she barely played Jaden Owens. Sarah Andrews was a freshman, true freshman, and she didn't trust the Olivers. She didn't trust any of them during the season. So when Dee Dee went down, it was the end. It was like UConn losing Paige. There was no other option. Because when that team was a senior-laden team, Dejanay was a transfer from Stanford with Final Four experience. Dejanay wasn't even a starter. So Kim is set in her ways. With this LSU team, she was kind of already able to get a head start because she had a point guard that's played 4 years in the SEC, Caleb Pointer. She's had a fool 4 years in the SEC. You bring over Alexis Morris, who you have experience with, so you trust her. Payne proved herself to her. The other guard, Cherry, proved herself to her. That's 4 proven players. When she was at Baylor, Dee Dee ran the point, was the best defender, ran the offense ran through her. That's not necessarily the case now. Because look at, you know, them in the tournament, the SEC tournament. Newbie was their leading scorer one game. Caleb Pointer was the feature another. And then the game that they did end up losing, that was just, a mental thing. But I think she has it's similar in that she has the pieces that she's worked with before historically, but it's different in that Dee Dee wasn't a true point guard, but she played her like that. And so she didn't do the work of actually developing somebody behind her because she didn't have to in the Big 12. In the SEC, her player got injured early, not in the game, in a crucial game too. And, you know, against UConn, do you really trust players you haven't played all season?
Well, no, it's not so much that. It's just like looking at what Dejanay is doing. Obviously, AU is different than the, you know, tournament, but looking at Dejanay and then looking at what Nalissa Smith is doing, you have both of them on the same team. They was both cooking. So yes, Dee Dee going down was a huge thing to me, but like you still have 2 bucket getters that you could say, like, give them the ball, move out the way, let them cook, let them run but a 2-man game, let them do something.
Has Jaden done better in Nikki's system?
She's played more, so she's
Sarah Andrews. I can't speak for Jaden, but I know Sarah Andrews can ball.
Yeah, Jaden. Like, for me to answer Shawnee's question, I think in that situation you're looking at who do I trust. I know how I've done it all year. I've done it through Dee Dee. She's been our She knows what I want done on the court. As we saw with Dejanay, it worked. But Dejanay does have a lot of times she's going to do what she knows to do in that score. DeeDee was going to assess, read the scheme, get it to the player that it needs to be gotten to. DeeDee did play like a point guard in that system. Dejanay didn't. So if I've got a player like Dejanay, because think about in that game against UConn, there was a play where she took a shot like 5 or 6 seconds into, they had just got the ball past half court. She takes a shot immediately, turnover. UConn gets some buckets, goes up. Yeah. Then in that later on in the game, she should have been the hero, but nothing in her mental is saying, get the ball to Melissa. DeeDee would have like, okay, I'm passing Dejanay, she open. If she's not doing something that I want, get it back to me. And she's going to get it back to her. But when DeeDee goes down, you don't have that voice saying, like, it goes through me. And Dejanay was just like, I'm about to be a hero, and wasn't.
I smell you. Because that's what it really looked like out there. Like, the two of them wasn't sure who was supposed to be the alpha in that situation. Because, like, Dejanay was the hot hand, but, like, you the hot song.
And her role all season was the sixth man, come in the game and score. Don't mm-hmm. come in and play the system.
She was instant offense off the bench. Five.
Yeah, and when that, you have to change like that on the fly, that's when them scores of the line start getting drawn, because the coaches got to change, and they had 2 days and some videotapes to assess. You know, Monkey was like, well, like, because the player that I need to do this isn't there, and the player that is going to do it, I don't trust, but I know she can score. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't trust her to make an entry pass to Melissa.
So now,
apparently, only one of those per team.
So basically, if Sha'Carri Jr., let me stop saying that. If Alexis is healthy, Texas is going to the Elite Eight.
Okay, flip side. Who in the Pac-12, what other team besides Baylor, who they lost to 2 times in the regular season, not Pac-12, Big 12, who in the Big 12 had 3 dynamic guards with the speed that LSU guards had or that Texas guard had? They are like spitting images of each other. Then when you throw the guards out the window, because Texas still got that Holly girl, you know how Vic always throw the one on the court.
Diversity.
So Texas's rotation is Harmon. They bring Matharu off the bench the same way that she's off the bench, if I'm not mistaken. Because it's Joanne Taylor, Harmon, Holly. And then sometimes they play a little game with the fourth big. The second big, but the four. Now look at LSU. Would you take Kayla Poynter over Rory Harmon?
No
question. Then would you take Alexis Morris over Joanne Taylor?
I take Kayla over Rory.
Okay.
But I'm taking you. Wait. That's a wash. That could be a wash.
That's what I'm getting to. Now at the third guard, you got Cherry.
I'm sorry, because Shawnee's face and her laughing is getting me. What's her name?
Holly. Her last name is Holly. Okay. Her last name is Holly. Her play does not deserve a name. She is literally on the court to do what Vic Schaefer's daughter did back in the day.
And take charge. So we're gonna take Cherry.
Exactly.
Okay, so LSU might.
LSU wins at the guard spot, right? Now let's move to the post. Are you taking Lauren Igbo or Faustina Fua?
A Fua.
Yeah.
Are you taking Autumn Newby, who has no name?
Damn. Okay. So, LSU.
You get where I'm going?
Okay.
Like, keep in mind, when you look at this 2-3 matchup, LSU was going to be a 2-seed. Like, LSU was destined to be a 2-seed. And then Alexis Morris got hurt, Kentucky got hot, and Kentucky won. Mm-hmm. Like LSU with Alexis Morris, they're a two seed.
Okay, but where does Audrey Warren? You didn't do that matchup. Do one more.
I mean, she might not play in the game. Like, let her. I mean, but now that's gonna be hell. Audrey Warren versus Autumn Newbie. Who's gonna?
No, they both like to fall on the ground.
Exactly.
They both like to fall on the ground. So it's gonna be a battle of the tumbles.
Okay.
It's so that's a wash. Okay, so we're gonna move from Spokane, whatever. So Michael said, y'all, Stanford versus LSU in the Elite Eight. So
I said it.
Okay.
I stand. Yeah, I'm with it.
Okay, I can see it though. I can see it. Okay. Woo, Lord, we got two more to go. We gonna fly through these. This is not how you actually say the name of the city, but I always grew up saying this for some reason. I don't know. Wichita. So in the Wichita. In the Wichita region.
I was like, how is he about to say Bridgeport? But okay.
I'm gonna say Bridgeport for last. In Wichita, you got, to me, what immediately stands out, the battle of the mid-majors, BYU and Villanova.
White crown.
BYU and Villanova, Ole Miss and South Dakota. Because South Dakota is scrappy. South Dakota is a scrappy team, and Ole Miss, it depends. South Dakota can get the scratching and stuff in the paint and on that perimeter. We're going to see. Oregon and maybe Belmont.
Destiny Wells
at Belmont is a bucket.
Yes.
Pow at Oregon is a bucket.
Yeah. That matchup's so fun.
Louisville and Albany, that Nebraska and Gonzaga game. Obviously, Gonzaga knocked off BYU for the WCC crown. So Nebraska and Gonzaga, both of them teams start the slinging it. It's a battle of the scrappies. So this region have some scrappy play. Oh, and Tennessee and Buffalo.
Don't forget Tennessee and Buffalo.
Don't forget Tennessee and Buffalo, because the Lady Bowls fans, if they're listening, they're probably going to have a fit. But I make jokes about
Buffalo. They only got 5 minutes, so.
I make jokes about Buffalo because I feel like Felicia is just like waiting for this tournament to be over so they can go ahead and release that announcement that she's accepting that Syracuse job, but we're going to see. This is an interesting region, the Wichita region. What stands out immediately to you all?
I would say, like you said, it's kind of evenly matched, because even if some of these are coming from different conferences, like Oregon, again, which Oregon team are you going to get? Is Sedona Prince going to start jumping for rebounds, or is she going to do what she normally does, which is not? So, you got some teams that could really pull off some upsets. That Villanova game is going to be a good one. Tennessee could possibly... that's my hate talking. Let me move on. Like Ole Miss, South Dakota. South Dakota's played South Carolina a couple times, right? Or was that South Dakota State?
They played South Carolina. They played South Carolina earlier in the season on that ugly court.
They
played us last year, too.
And they played us in South Carolina. That's when Ty hit that like 94-foot shot at the buzzer. Yeah. So, and they've always been a tough matchup.
Yeah, they're a scrappy team. They definitely won't be afraid of Ole Miss's physicality
at all. So Shakira gonna have to bring it. But yeah, I really like how evenly matched this region is, in my opinion.
Honestly, the first round of games, I'm excited for them, but they're not the things that stand out to me the most. It's the possibilities of games that we can see in this region. Like, if everything holds true based on rankings, you possibly get Baylor versus Ole Miss in the second round, right? That's Shakira Austin versus Melissa Smith. Both players put their teams on their back. They're basically going to be guarding each other, and that could be a fun matchup. You possibly get Nas Hillman versus Melissa Smith if they move on, you know? Like, that would be a crazy matchup. You could get Tennessee versus Oregon, and you have Sedona Prince versus Tamari Key. If Sedona shows up, it's a good game. So it's like the possibilities of matchups that we could see in this if some things hold true that I'm really excited about.
So you really are about math, but like, that's brilliant.
Who y'all see in Elite Eight to fight for the Final Four in that, out of that region, out of Wichita?
So in my committee, when I did my committee, I submitted my committee bracket earlier, and I don't like to be revolutionary when money's involved, but if I'm being completely transparent and honest, I do think the Wichita region is the region where we can see the most movement. And here's where I'm going to get you some info. If this is when I got to do my ifs, if Nebraska beats Gonzaga, Nebraska has a roster to beat Louisville. There's one. If Tennessee beats Oregon and Jordan Horston is back, Tennessee beats Oregon. If BYU beats Villanova, Michigan loses to BYU. If Ole Miss beats South Dakota, Ole Miss beats Baylor. And I have a very valid reason for why each of those things can happen.
I can see all of those happening. I can, it's really too. About matchups, to be honest.
Exactly. Like, it's all about matchups. And so I'm really interested to see, you know, what teams come to play, because last year Michigan kind of came into the tournament and gave everybody like, ooh, they're here, look at them. This year I feel like they're at a very different place with that team. They're kind of at this like awakening, you know. Niles has been scouted. She's an undersized post player, and some big games she does not always show up. And if they run into a team with a dynamic guard like a Shaylee Gonzalez, who has that similar feisty fire to a Caitlin Clark, we've seen how much Michigan struggles with that type of score. And BYU actually does have size, really nice size. Then look at you know, Nebraska, in, you know, homegirl that came from Oregon, stepped into that role and is excelling. And they also have Heidi. I really like that guard for Nebraska. Markowski is a solid big for them. And as we know, Louisville, as much as they are this defensive juggernaut this year, they are offensively stale as bread, okay? Day old bread. That their offense is anemic at times. And it'll be interesting. That's one of those things where it's like, do you take Big Ten offense or ACC defense asterisk? And because I have not, like, as much as everyone's been like, this is Louisville's best defense in the history of defense, and Emily Inksler is Angel Jr., I still don't believe it. I don't trust it. I watched that Arizona game early in the year, and the only reason why it was coached was because Arizona sucks on offense, too. So it was just two really bad offensive teams and one really good defensive team, and the good defensive team was Arizona, not Louisville. A couple
seconds away to that Georgia Tech loss.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I mean, Dana was their saving grace last year. It was supposed to be Haley, Shawnee's other daughter, and she's not giving. And as much as we're trying to make fetch happen, either Nebraska or Gonzaga could take them out in the tournament. So I really do think this is an interesting region. It can go anywhere from chalk, or it could be a region where we see an 8 and a 7 make it to the Elite Eight.
So if you that, was, actually, if you, that was really good. If each of you had to take one lower seed, who, and I want to say everybody except Gonzaga, because that 8 and 9 is always like a really good matchup. So everyone outside of Gonzaga, because they're 9. Any of the other lower seeds in the Wichita region, Who are you taking for an upset?
What do we define as a lower seed? Are you just talking about in the first game? Like,
yeah, just based off of the initial seedings of that region.
Villanova.
Villanova against BYU?
Yeah. But that was going to be my question. Like, everybody's kind of in agreement. Like, we haven't talked about the next region, but Louisville is still the most likely to get upset number one seed in each region, right?
This is tough.
If Horsten isn't ready to go, I know they've shown some videos of her getting shots up, but I could see Buffalo doing something. But I could also see South Dakota doing something too.
For some reason, that South Dakota and Ole Miss game is really intriguing to me, and I would definitely say Villanova and BYU. Obviously, they beat UConn earlier this year. And I think they've had some little moments when they kind of, you know, slacked off a little bit. But I can see, if I had to pick one, dang it, it's hard. I'm going to say South Dakota could definitely outscrap Ole Miss.
Yeah,
I feel like. What about you, Dolores? What's that one out of that?
Buffalo.
Woo!
And it's not, and that's like no shade of Tennessee, because I really do think Tennessee, if Jordan's back, can make it all the way to the Elite Eight, Final Four type of situation, honestly, like wholeheartedly. But I think Buffalo played early in the year, they played Oregon, South Carolina, all those teams when they went to the Bahamas. And, you know, they might not have won, but when you have that experience and you have a coach like Felicia, who knows how to, she's gotten her teams to the tournament consistently. Mm-hmm. I remember a few years ago, Asia's senior year, they almost knocked South Carolina out before we even got to UConn as when Asia was a senior in the tournament. So that she always knows, and she always has a player. A few years ago was Sierra Dillard. Now it's Deja Fair, the Asia Fair.
I think that came down to like that block, that
It ended up getting kind of more of like a bigger win late, but it was tight for the majority of the game. And if they can, you know, find enough defense to keep Tennessee off the boards, Tennessee is not going to three themselves to a win. Buffalo might can. So.
But that's it for Wichita. Moving on to a region that I think made some Huskies very happy that they were placed into Bridgeport. Now they're closer.
Do they know that they're in Bridgeport? Are they still practicing?
Who knows?
Do they know?
Who knows? Which is interesting, I guess. Well, South Carolina, they were number one overall, so they got closer to home. North Carolina State has to go all the way up to Bridgeport instead.
But why? Pause. I get that. To me, if I'm number two overall team, I should get what I asked for.
Yeah.
So that means they would have had to take in a two seed?
Oh, shoot. So now...
NC State came down to Bridgeport and Wichita. Because Stanford was the overall number two seed. It was South Carolina, Stanford, NC State, Louisville. Stanford was going to Spokane. That was going to happen.
I'm NC State and I'm the three seed, I really do feel like you should be able to ask, you know, because
I think they're doing the men's side.
Like if I'm the fourth number one, then I was the weakest team in the one, right? So then if you send me to Hades, I just got sent to Hades. But if, you know, for NC State, considering their resume, considering.
Oh, it benefited Louisville more because
Louisville got a better Kentucky. Exactly. Louisville got a better end of the stick, or Baylor would have got a better end of the stick. Because if Baylor gets the fourth one, Wichita is in Big 12 country. Louisville is right up the street. NC State now still has to go up the street to Bridgeport, but now you're in Bridgeport. You are playing against the home team.
So yeah. That's been my gripe with the committee and how they do the tournaments for a while now, because at the end of the day, everything y'all are saying is so right, but the reason why Louisville can just take a bus to Wichita is why Louisville ended up there. Because remember when they kicked South Carolina all the way to South Dakota? It was because the answer they gave, because that was the first, they actually responded to my tweet. I was like, woo-hoo. But the answer they gave was literally just, well, Notre Dame can take a bus and South Carolina is going to have to fly. So if South Carolina is going to have to fly, since you're already in the air, fly wherever you're going to fly at. Like, you already in the air now, so it don't really matter if you got to go all the way to the West Coast. We don't care. And so with North Carolina, it was kind of, well, with State, it's basically just you're going to have to fly to either one of these regions. And since you're going to have to fly, we rather you fly and have Louisville take a bus versus both of y'all flying.
So then next question, why is Northeast de facto location? Because if we look at basketball, out of the Northeast, the only teams that historically will make, you know, the one seed is UConn, right? So what does it say that you basically give one team, not every other team, one team an hour to 2 hour drive or bus trip every year, regardless of where they are, right? Because basically what it says is, regardless of where they place, even if they're not a one seed, this team will always get to play at home, regardless of how they did during the season. Mm-hmm. Every other one seed is fighting for a trip close to home.
Isn't that
ending? But why not?
The NCAA, but I think next year should be either next year or the year after.
Because that regional is ending, right?
Yeah, they're getting rid of the four regions and they're just going to have two, where it'll be, I know Greensboro put in for it. I don't know who the other person is. Let me look it up. But
I like the whole Debbie
Edwards. What does that mean? Idea.
Once it gets to the Sweet
16. I do love the Las Vegas thing. I really do love the Las Vegas thing.
Same. Shout out to Deb Antonelli.
Or any city with the regional, you know, with the capacity to do so. You know, if you do your, you know, first round in your home state, you move everything else after that to a city and play out in the city. Like, that was, I will say, I really did like that about the bubble championships, was that everybody's based in, where were they, Houston?
San Antonio.
Everybody's based in San Antonio. You get there, then from there you either drive down the street or you stay right in San Antonio. Stay in the hotels until it's over.
So I just looked it up, and starting next year, yeah, because that'll be 2023. Starting next year, regional play is only going to be held at two sites per year. And so there'll be eight teams competing at each site. Next year, it'll be in Greenville, South Carolina, and Seattle. And then the following year, it'll be in Albany, New York, and Portland. And then the year after that, it's going to be in Alabama and Spokane, Washington.
Look at all our faces when they say Alabama.
Birmingham?
Yes, Birmingham.
Oh God, no! It is not.
What's the other one with the other one with Alabama?
Albany,
Washington, Spokane, Washington.
I'll go there.
But and that means
2026 is Fort Worth, Texas, and Sacramento, California.
I can, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's in Fort Worth? I'll be in Dallas.
Dallas. That's it. Basically, Dallas. Yeah. So we gonna go to the since we're already at Bridgeport.
Bleep that one out.
We're in Bridgeport. So we're at North Carolina State, and what is LNG? Oh, Longwood or Mount St. Mary's. And then we got Washington State and Kansas State, Notre Dame versus UMass, Oklahoma versus EUPU, Kentucky versus Princeton, Indiana versus Charlotte, UCF versus Florida, and UConn versus Mercer. Two games that I'm looking forward to, and that it's three. Kentucky versus Princeton, and then Indiana versus Charlotte, and UCF versus Florida. I was talking to someone earlier. Charlotte has, I think, but at least three for sure, Power Five transfers. And I know I've talked about this several times doing this. Not that it matters, but some of those players have experience playing in really big games. You got players that came from Kentucky and players that came from Duke. I think those are the only transfers. But Indiana and Charlotte, Charlotte has the player of the year and the defensive player of the year. Indiana got some shooters, and then Charlotte got Jet Wilson. So that could be a pretty interesting game between those two. This Charlotte team is a lot different than they were to start the season. Now, UCF in Florida, Kiki is out for Florida. So now UCF, they got the coach of the year, the player of the year, the sixth woman of the year, and the defensive player of the year all on UCF.
And do
that's maybe not the sixth player, maybe they got the freshman of the year. They got one of those, either sixth player or freshman of the year, one of them. That could be an interesting team. I mean, an interesting matchup there. Which of those matchups stand out to you? Obviously, Ryan is on a tear. Ryan and Dre Edwards. You saw what they did to South Carolina. So which of those matchups in the Bridgeport region sticks out to you all?
I'm going to sound like a hater again. Princeton.
Ooh.
Nah, I agree. I think Princeton, like, people don't really watch the Ivy League like that.
It's hard to, but because they be on Flow Sports probably.
Yeah.
ESPN Plus. So
most people just watch live stats because Flow Sports suck. But I think Princeton's a scrappy team, very physical. They're very sound. And their offense is like, it's like they know what they want to do on offense, and you can't really get in their way to stop them from doing what they want to do. And so I like watching Princeton play. I'm also keeping an eye on Oklahoma and IUPUI. They're a solid team. Somebody pointed out, and I completely forgot about it, but that, like, IUPUI, they took Michigan down to the wire when at the beginning of the season. They also beat Iowa. Granted, Iowa was struggling, but they beat them, and that's still a good win.
They got one of the players from Iowa State. I forgot which one. She transferred from Iowa State that plays for IUPUI. So I like.
So
that.
I don't think they're a team to be flipped on.
I'm gonna go with Yana's. The realm of possibility. No, who said that? Michael. But Kansas State, if they get past Washington State, I think they could upset NC State.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know, man. 61 points is nothing to sneeze at.
And they played already this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't trust Kunane that much. And I think if you can get hot on your own, I know Ayoka Lee doesn't have, like, the strongest supporting cast, but it just, again, depends, you know. Is Diamond going to show up? Is Perez going to show up? Like, are the people around Kunane going to show up as well? So I think that could be an interesting one, but I would not count Kansas State out. I'm not going to be bold and say, like, they're going to the Sweet 16, but I'm going to say it is not out of the realm of possibility we could see Kansas State in the Sweet 16.
So who do you see?
What did you say, B?
No, go ahead, because I don't think you gave yours yet.
Well, I would just to that, and then I'll give mine. I will say I've kind of followed Kansas State more this year because they were really intriguing to me at the start of the Big 12 season when they went, when they were like the only other undefeated team with Iowa State, and then they kind of lost all their focus. Their second best player is Serena Sundell. She's a true freshman. And it's one of those arguments similar to the argument I had about Iowa State. How the game is called is really important for them. They can beat a team, but they, you know, they sit in the zone. They can't really defend the dynamic guards off the bounce. Kunane demands a double, but then with Lee demanding a double, they don't necessarily have anyone outside of Sundell that can go get a bucket. And if their threes aren't falling, they're kind of screwed. So yes, in terms of, I do think they have the talent, and I do think Ayoka Lee is still top three center in college, regardless of what team she plays on. But she's not the quickest. And so they have to play a little bit slower to accommodate her game. But then some games she can get taken out with the triple or a double because she hasn't worked through that and there's not enough shooters around her to make that work. But I do think I brought up the Kentucky possibly losing, but I really do think this regional is the regional we'll see the most like straightforward results.
I can see that.
I think, you know, I just think Bridgeport, I tweeted, I was like, it's the about, you know, white and white crime, because all the teams that are expected to go through are led by white players. So yeah.
So in other words, at the end of the day, you're thinking that this region will be the one where the one and two make.
Yeah, we could see 1, 2, 3, 4 in this region easily.
Okay. So
yeah, like Kentucky might scratch an arm, you know, make you bleed for a little bit, but I think their magic was the SEC tournament. You know when you see those teams, you're like, oh my God, they just won the conference tournament, they're gonna make a run. I don't necessarily see that being Kentucky. This year, you know, Ron's going to do Ron, but I still don't trust the players around her. They just, like, if you go back and look at the SEC tournament, they were making, like, 10 threes a game. At no point during the season was that happening.
Right, right. Yeah, they caught and fire that week.
Yeah, I mean, they literally were just ablazing. You know, they were just on fire and making shots. But with, you know, Paige being back, I think UConn ultimately takes it and goes to the Final Four. Because, you know, NC State is like Stanford used to be a few years ago. They'll get close, but then, you know. And I know Diamond's supposed to be the girl that gets them over the hump. But if Westmore lives and dies on the Kunane Hill, dead.
Okay, so everybody give your Final Four picks.
South Carolina, Stanford, UConn, and Louisville.
Mm. Kiana?
All right. South Carolina, Stanford. Ooh, the switch to our region is interesting. I'm going to go with... My bracket will probably be completely different from this, but right now, just looking at everything, I'm just gonna go with Michigan. Ooh. And for the Bridgeport region, I'm going with UConn.
Okay. Shawnee?
Okay, well, this isn't for money, and nobody's going to beat me up over it, so South Carolina, Stanford, IUPUI, Hawaii. Let's get it.
You said, wait, South Carolina, Stanford, IUPUI,
IUPUI, Hawaii.
And, okay, wow. Okay, my guesses are going to be South Carolina, Stanford, you know what? I'm taking South Carolina, Stanford, North Carolina State, and
that Wichita is so hard.
It really is. And as a disclaimer, while Brandon thinks I don't agree with my Wichita region pick. I'm just picking because I was asked and put on the spot. I haven't really thought about it.
Also, in the crevice of my soul, I think like Tennessee could very well come
that's
out of it.
Who but I was, that's who I was going to say, dog. I was going
to
say
Tennessee could, though. The matchups are there for them to win if they take advantage of it. Like, they really could come out. And honestly, so could Oregon. Like, when I was looking at it, I was like, shit, Oregon could probably win too.
I was about to say Michigan, but then I thought about how Nas has kind of shrunk in some big games. And so I don't know if the moment will be too big for her. I'm going to just say it. I'm going to take all the one seeds except for Wichita, and I'm going to give that to Tennessee.
Except for who? Okay. So all nobody thinks Baylor can make it?
I don't know if it, I think it will wear on Nelissa at like it's going to be a lot of relying on Nelissa.
I think, and I don't know if this is going to be as big a deal as I've made it, but them having their conference tournament in today, that just doesn't sit well with me, because then you're going into this grind of also playing every single day again. And every other team just about has had that week off to kind of decompress, go to Miami, do your thing. You know. So they all got a break. And at this point in time, you kind of need that break heading into the tournament, just mentally and physically. So I think that's going to be something to look out for.
Yeah. So that's my four. I'm going with it. South Carolina, North Carolina State, Stanford, and Tennessee. Boom. There it is. There it is. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the committee, the conglomerate that you love to know and that you also love to
know. I have one thing to say. My heart is not clear. I just want to say that I am very upset at ESPN not giving NC State any love during their little extended show coverage. I thought that was kind of messed up. Like, I get UConn is in this Bridgeport region, but not having a feature for your third number one seed, and we all know NC State was going to be a number one seed, they deserved a feature. That's all. That's all I got to say.
And we can't grow the game without actually speaking to all of those players in those teams that are contenders, and they have been a contender, maybe not have gotten over the hump sometimes, but they've been a contender for at least like the last 3 years. So yeah, we definitely got to show them their love. And I had a chance to see North Carolina State play last week, and they hustle. I'll say that. West got them jumping out the gym for some rebounds. I will give them that. So any other, add-ons?
I ultimately, I do think this is a year where we see a lower seed again make it deep. I don't know who. I do think we see another Arizona. I don't know who that ends up being, but we do see an Arizona. So as though I gave y'all my picks, those are the picks I picked for one of the brackets I did. I've raised hell in other brackets, but we will see another Arizona situation.
And when it's Hawaii, because Asia Wilson just talked to them and they make this magical run. Remember, you heard
it. Did they make the tournament?
Yeah. Yeah. They won. They won their tournament.
Yeah, they're in the Wichita. Yeah, they're in the Wichita bracket.
They got Baylor.
No. Bye.
I'm just saying, with the magic of Asia and the fatigue of the Big 12 tournament being all late, when it comes
so Asia
to
Asia, guys. Asia got speeches better than Karen.
Ooh. Asia got speeches better than. Let's end it because I'm going to say some things.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the committee. And thank y'all for joining me today. And I'll be right back after this. Well, those were my friends, y'all. Those were my friends. Those are just a few members of the committee. And I really appreciate them for taking the time out to join me to help go into some of these matchups with the brackets. And I can't wait to see who's going to hoist that trophy at the national championship. You know, when that clock hits 0-0, whose is going to be? So I know obviously a lot of fans will be rooting for their favorite teams. Every fan will be rooting for their favorite team. But I can't wait to see what
happens and how this all shakes out. So these are definitely exciting times that we are in. Basketball is alive and well. And I want to send a big shout out once again to Blue Wire. Thanks for the opportunity of me being able to just really do what it is that I like on this show. And they've given me this amazing platform. So shout out to them. Once again, go follow me. You can follow me on social, on Twitter and Instagram at It's B Terrell, and follow the podcast as well on both Instagram and Twitter. It's About That BW. The BW is for Blue Wire. And we also have an email address. If you would like to send any questions in the future, we're going to incorporate fan questions into each episode. So go ahead and email us at aboutthatbw@gmail.com. That's aboutthatbw@gmail.com. So hopefully I get a chance to see a lot of you at maybe some of the opening rounds of the tournament or at the regionals or especially in Minneapolis for the Final Four. I'm going to be filling out my brackets. I'm going to go do that now. Hopefully I win $5 from somebody. I don't know who, but somewhere between these 100 brackets that I'm about to fill out, I have to win something. I just feel it. My fingers are itching, so I know it's coming. So yeah, hey, tell a friend to go and subscribe. And you've been listening to About That. I am B Terrell, and peace out.
It's your girl Mel, and you've been kicking it with B Terrell on About That. And I'm going to need you to pull up every single week. But before you do that, make sure you subscribe, like, rate, and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend, because it's going down each and every week. See ya.